Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
Fred, I can't wait for Tuesday because last week we mentioned that this movie is coming out alleged and it's going to be available on the shelves of most Walmarts on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
November 8th.
And the cast is impressive. It includes Brian Dennehy and Fred Thompson.
Yeah, some really big name actors and actresses in the cast. And what's neat about the movie Alleged is it's a telling of the Scopes monkey trial, which is iconic, but it's true to history. So it doesn't have Hollywood's anti-Christian, anti-creation bias.
That was done in the movie called Inherit the Wind that was released sometime in the early 60s.
Exactly.
It totally distorted the historical account of this trial.
The reality of it. So it's coming out on the shelves at Walmart. And if your Walmart doesn't have it, just call and ask them to order it or go buy. And that's Tuesday. And also on Tuesday is Mississippi's Personhood Amendment 26 election. So this is a big day in history, November 8th, 2011. And what an honor to invite onto the program now the writer and producer of the movie Alleged, Fred Foote. Fred, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thank you for having me.
What an honor. It's not every day we have a Hollywood producer on our show, Fred. So we want to talk about the Scopes trial itself in history and the movie and the making of the movie and the issues involved. But could we start with the cast? It has quite a cast, and for an independent film that helps set the record straight, it's awesome, the actors and actresses who are in this.
Yeah, I would agree. We've got Brian Dennehy, who we like to refer to as everybody's favorite actor, who plays Clarence Darrow.
He plays Clarence Darrow, and Dennehy from Rambo, of course, and so many major and successful motion pictures. So Dennehy plays Clarence Darrow.
Right. Then we have Senator Fred Thompson from Law and Order and other movies. He plays the Christian statesman William Jennings Bryan.
All right.
Oh, wow.
And he also ran for president.
Yeah, he did. He ran for president, I think, three times. In fact, Fred, I have a slight connection there. I have a great-great-great-grandfather that served with him in the Spanish-American War.
What was his name, Fred?
Victor Vifquain. He was a Medal of Honor winner, a general, and he would have been a Secretary of State if he would have won one of those two elections against McKinley.
And what's interesting is that the actor playing him also ran for president and was a U.S. Senator from Tennessee.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Where the Scopes trial was. And so there's so many neat tie-ins. In fact, Brian Dennehy, he's been involved in the Scopes trial professionally previously, hadn't he?
Yeah, he was on Broadway, and he played the Christian statesman character on Broadway. So he kind of switched roles for this film.
All right.
Was it kind of coincidence that you chose Thompson with his connection to Tennessee?
I would say more he fit the bill as someone who is impressive, who speaks well, has gravitas, sort of a statesman type. William Jennings Bryan really was the elder statesman of the Democratic Party, kind of the left-leaning part of the Democratic Party for 30 years. Mm. So we needed someone with that kind of character, and as I say, gravitas, and Thompson can pull that off.
And Fred Williams and I were honored to see a screening of Alleged, and Fred Thompson does a tremendous job. He's funny, he's powerful, he's got the gravitas.
Oh, it was a great movie.
Yeah, really enjoyable. And then how about Colm Meaney?
Yeah, Colomini plays the columnist H.L. Mencken, probably the most influential columnist of the day, wrote for the Baltimore Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And H.L. Mencken was at the trial, of course, and his dispatches from Dayton can be found on the web today, and they're just fascinating, hilarious, and vicious, all mixed up
vicious.
Together.
Vicious, yeah.
And he's another popular character actor, right? I think he was on Star Trek Next Generation.
Colomini,
right. Yeah.
And he's playing H.L. Mencken, who the website for AllegedTheMovie.com has links to where you could find out about the history of the Scopes Monkey Trial. And so I strongly encourage people to go through that and find out about Mencken. He's an atheist, an evolutionist. Interesting dynamics in this movie. It was the trial of the century.
So O.J. trial wasn't. This one was.
Well, I think that's... Now, Fred Foote, I don't know your opinion on this, but I've looked up online, legal historians have said that the Scopes trial was bigger than the O.J. trial in the 1900s.
Oh, I think so. The O.J. was race and sex and murder and had a titillating quality, but the Scopes monkey trial not only had great personalities, but great issues at stake. So
right.
It really was
fundamental
momentous.
Issues that entranced the nation and much of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, for nightly video reels, film footage to be distributed and then be showing in theaters around the country within days of testimony given, it was an extraordinary event.
That's right. And the first trial broadcast in the history of the world. So it was a staged event in that way as well.
And it made the ACLU, because they were unknown until they got Clarence Darrow to represent John Scopes.
That's well, exactly right.
As we're going through the cast, then maybe we could mention a couple more cast members. Nathan West, who is wonderful in the film, and his love interest is played by Ashley Johnson.
Yeah, she was in The Help, I think, wasn't she?
She's in the
She's
in The Help, right?
That's right. That's right.
And that, of course, major motion picture that's become a phenomenon. And so Ashley Johnson is one of the leads in Fred Foote's movie Alleged. What a fabulous movie. But Fred, then could we fast forward a bit? So the cast and crew were just top notch, extraordinary. But could you fill us in on the Scopes trial itself? Not everybody remembers the monkey trial, but it is iconic.
Sure. Well, in 1925, the state of Tennessee outlawed the teaching of the evolution of mankind in the public schools. So they didn't require the teaching of the Bible, but they wanted mankind, a single species out of maybe 2 million species. They didn't want man depicted as just an animal. It's like pulling a bad word or an idea that the parents thought was had some dangerous ramifications, and they pulled that out of the curriculum. They saw it as their responsibility to mold and guide the teaching of their own children, and they paid for it. And so they thought it was within their prerogative to shape the curriculum to that degree.
And the textbook that was at issue at the time was, I'd say, by all accounts today, even by atheists and evolutionists, they would say it was a racist textbook. It showed blacks and Jews and then native peoples as close to animals.
That's right, and it also suggested that if we breed mankind like we breed animals, then maybe we should sterilize the more defective of the race.
The forced sterilization, and of course minorities would be especially vulnerable to those kinds of programs, and those programs actually happen in reality, and they were happening in America at the time.
So, and that was brought up in the movie, right? The forced sterilization. I remember that was one of the topics.
Yeah.
Right, a great subplot with fine young actress Corey Faison.
Yeah.
She plays a half-black, half-white little girl who's being lined up to be sterilized because she has a faulty gene pool. Mm. And just for that reason, there's no
right
nothing wrong with her. And that happened 60,000 Americans.
60,000?
With the blessing of the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. Oliver Wendell Holmes, 1927, 2 years after the trial. The eugenics was very much embraced by the secular elite of this country.
Mm.
And a lot of people paid a dear price for that wrong idea. And then it went exported to Germany, and Germany took the same concept and applied it in the concentration camps to Jews and gypsies and
And here in this country, it was as late as 1942 when the U.S. Supreme Court absurdly ruled in Skinner versus Oklahoma to uphold forced sterilization of prisoners. And they said, as long as you're also sterilizing white-collar criminals, then there's no violation of the law here.
Yeah, the textbooks were wicked. The parents of Tennessee were correct. And yet history treats them as bumbling, bigoted, fearful idiots, even though they were completely, well, I don't know about completely, but they were comfortable with 99.9999% of the evolutionary theory
that was
taught
in the schools, right,
with 0% of the creationist story, 0% for the Bible, 100% basically for the evolutionists. They pulled out this one exception, which was despicable.
Don't say that people evolved from apes, and what was being said was that certain people, like Indians or Jews or blacks, were very close to apes, much closer than Caucasians, Europeans, other Americans.
That's right.
Yeah. You mentioned that it sounds like there's been revisionist history on this. Well, this isn't the first movie about the Scopes Monkey Trial, right?
Right.
That's right. The famous one was the 1960 Stanley Kramer movie, Inherit the Wind, based on the play of the same name.
With Spencer
Tracy.
Longest
running Broadway play in history at that time, and then a huge motion picture. That movie has made its way into school curriculums all over. I saw it as a sophomore at East Lansing High School, and it was presented basically as a picture of what fundamentalism looks like or life in the 20s, and it was grossly historically inaccurate and slanderous.
Yeah, it's almost portrayed as a documentary, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, people believe what this movie portrays, and it's grossly inaccurate.
And the movie portrays Christians as hate-filled bigots and ignorant, and Clarence Darrow, the ACLU attorney, in this case made the ACLU. Before the Scopes Monkey Trial, most people never heard of the ACLU.
And they made him look like a hero.
Like,
is he really
hero?
A hero?
And Fred, in history, was Clarence Darrow the hero in the trial? And Williams, Jennings, Bryan, was he the buffoon?
Well, that's how Inherit the Wind portrays it exactly. Now, in real life, the ACLU attempted to remove Clarence Darrow from the case because so many people on both sides of the ideological divide were offended by his remarks and his conduct and his demeanor at the trial. So they tried to fire Darrow, and then William Jennings Bryan, the very people that view the event for 8 straight trial days, they buy acreage and build a college for him. So that should give one sort of a little, you know, an insight into what really happened. Was Bryan was performed wonderfully by their account.
It's kind of like, you know, Bob debated the Reasons to Believe group. Which group sells the DVD of that
who
debate?
Who sells the DVD? So,
yeah,
Fred,
that's right.
Let me see if I understand the point you just made. During and after the trial, the ACLU, they want to fire Clarence Darrow because he basically melted down. He had evolutionary scientists who he did not want to be cross-examined, and he ended up refusing to give his closing statement, which is just unheard of. It was a catastrophe, and yet Hollywood and our public schools today tell everyone that he was the hero, he succeeded, and Bryan was a buffoon. But on the site of the trial in Dayton, Tennessee, they raised an enormous amount of money and built a college that's operating to this day. We just recently interviewed a professor from Bryan College on Real Science Friday.
That is a very accurate summary of what happened.
Wow.
So it's amazing how things get twisted around.
So, Fred, one of my favorite scenes in the movie was in the barn where they're brainstorming about the scientific evidence for evolution.
And it's the atheist, right? The atheist,
yeah.
And Clarence Darrow, and he's got Colm Meaney there, who's H.L. Mencken, and they got the evolutionary scientist. So, Fred, could you describe that scene for us?
Well, you mentioned earlier that it was Clarence Darrow who kept the scientists off the stand at the Scopes trial, and very, very few people understand that. So we need to ask ourselves today, why didn't Clarence Darrow permit them to get on the stand and give a show?
Yeah, because Inherit the Wind makes it sound like the creationist Christians would be afraid to hear the testimony of the scientist. It makes it sound like we were afraid, when in reality, initially, that had nothing to do with the trial. The trial was whether or not John Scopes taught from this civics biology textbook, which would have broken the law.
Yes. Yeah, so that was the narrow point of the trial. So from the standpoint of a relevant evidence, the theory of evolution might be a little off point. But nevertheless, they came up, if they excluded the jury, that they could have a great big seminar on evolution. And the judge was all for that. He wanted to keep the show going. And William Jennings Bryan was fine with that. He wasn't afraid. He just wanted to cross-examine. And as soon as Darrow heard that the scientists would be cross-examined, he freaked out and insulted the judge, insulted the state of Tennessee. So we asked ourselves, why was he so afraid? And I think the answer boils down to the evidence was weak.
The evidence was weak that human beings evolved from animals.
Yeah. Secondly, they were all Christian scientists posing as mainstream Christians, except none of them believed in any of the miracles of the Bible. So you put them on a stand in the state of Tennessee and ask them if Jesus was born of a virgin, and they would deny that. They would deny the bodily resurrection. They would deny the miracles. They would deny that Jesus walked on water or healed lepers or anything. So you have an odd definition of Christian who doesn't believe in any of the New Testament miracles, or Old Testament for that matter.
So in other words, this evolutionary scientist would say, we are Christians, and we know that the evidence that man evolved from apes is overwhelming. So then William Jennings Bryan would say, well, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? And they'd say, well, as a figure of speech.
Yeah, right.
So they're Christians who reject the person of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So they're exposed as deceptive. And then he could ask them about what kind of evidence did they have. And they had a Nebraska man at the time, but that was an entire race of pre-humans evolved from apes, which was fabricated based on a single tooth. They invented Nebraska Man, which is now known to
his wife and family.
And his wife and kids.
All from a single tooth.
How much hair he had on his body, the kinds of tools he made.
The TV shows he watched.
And Fred, if I recall, the credits at the end of the movie, it gives an update on who some of these people, what happened to John Scopes, and a great quote from him. But it mentions the Nebraska Man. What came of that?
It was discovered to be the tooth of an extinct pig.
It was a pig's tooth that the evolutionist turned into an ancestor of man, an ape, a race of hominids.
Right.
Yeah.
So a pig made a monkey out of a man.
That's right.
So to speak.
You know what this kind of reminds me of is the NEA, the National Education Association, discouraging people to debate creation with creationists.
Discouraging it, just like Clarence Darrow said, hey, we want our scientists to testify, but they cannot be cross-examined. And Brian is like, what do you mean they can't be cross-examined? And the judge says, of course, that's how a courtroom works. And so the evolutionist atheist was afraid to have the evidence for the evolution of man actually put on trial. So it was the evolutionist who refused to give the scientific evidence a fair hearing.
That's exactly right. And then the history treats it like the Christians were running scared for the hills.
Right.
So what were some of the scientific evidences they talked about in the...
Well, there was vestigial organs. They did get their testimony in a written form without cross-examination. And they talked about the usual, that the universe has been here forever. We know that that can't be true.
So that's completely debunked. Vestigial organs, they had over 100 of them at the time. And now all of them, as in every one, significant function has been found. They're not leftovers. You don't want to remove your tailbone or your
appendix or your tonsils
or your hypothalamus or anything else if you don't have to.
Yeah, they had the horse, the evolution of the horse, which was utterly fabricated. They had the embryos.
Recapitulating,
that's been...
And Hackle has been discredited as a fraud for fabricating the drawings of human embryos to make them look like reptiles and fish with gill slits and all.
Right. Very, very little of what was presented as scientific fact was true then. But, of course, they had all the confidence in the world, and they do now the same thing. 40 years from now, the examples that they trot out for evolution will be a complete new set of characters than the current set of icons that are trotted out, and on it goes.
And then the movie does deal with, as was mentioned earlier, forced sterilization. You're right. What a wonderful young actress who is going to be sterilized by her uncle, who's bought into eugenics. and he's a medical doctor. And since she's half black, he's going to have his niece sterilized. After all, three generations of idiots are enough. That was the left-wing atheist evolutionary line at the time. And so something happens with her in the movie that is significant. I think it tells us a lot about the way Hollywood makes movies and about the way a Christian creationist would make a movie. Fred Foote, could you just tell us just real briefly what, well, we don't want to give away that part of the movie, do we?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a spoiler there. Let's put it this way. Mm. Clarence Darrow and H.L. Mencken are on the other side of the issue from the Christian statesman.
Right.
But people who love them and respect and admire them like and admire and respect them in this movie.
In the movie?
In the movie that was written by a Bible-believing young earth creationist attorney. So I think that's what you're suggesting is we put their character fairly, you know, portray it fairly enough that those who identify with them will identify with them in this movie.
In the movie. Maybe I could describe it like this. Michael Moore, let me ask Fred Williams a question. Michael Moore makes a documentary on George Bush. Is he going to put anything in that documentary that makes Bush look like a hero, even in one little matter?
0% chance.
Zero. He's not going to do it.
Ain't going to happen.
This movie takes the bad guy, you know, the atheist evolutionist, and presents him as a hero, an important part of the movie. And that shows integrity. There is no way Spencer Tracy and Inherit the Wind are going to say anything wonderfully kind or show William Jennings Bryan as admirable. They don't have it in them, that kind of integrity. Whereas in the Bible, when God comes across a wicked king, like, say, Abimelech, and Abimelech says something that's true, God says, well, you know what? You said that in the integrity of your heart. So God could acknowledge even when evil people who hate him do something good or right. And this movie does that. And I think that shows courage and integrity that should be evident from a Christian film.
Yeah, it shows it's fair and accurate.
It definitely comes across that way. So, Fred Foote, thanks so much for making this movie. Now, let me ask you, have you been in any film festivals with this?
Yeah, the first half a year that we've been spending in film festivals has been quite rewarding. We've won Best Picture at the Made in Michigan Film Festival just 2 days ago.
Wow.
Earlier this month. We made Best Film in the Anthem Film Festival in Las Vegas. We had Best Film in the Flint Film Festival, since we filmed it very, very close to Flint, Michigan, mm-hmm. Michael Moore's hometown.
Oh, and by the way, what a beautiful, I mean, the sets. You felt like you were
awesome.
In Dayton, Tennessee.
Absolutely.
In 1925.
Yeah, there's a wonderful little historic village that's been created and maintained by the county. Genesee County in Flint, called Crossroads Village, if anyone gets a chance to see it, or if any movie makers want a fabulous movie set for early 1900s. It's wonderful, and they treated us wonderfully, and the local talent was very, very deep, and a great experience at Crossroads Village.
Mm-hmm. How long was it in production?
We filmed for 20 days, which is a very, very short shoot by Hollywood standards, especially for a period film. And then the whole process, from when I started writing the screenplay, it took years and years because I had never written a screenplay in my life, and it's its own art, and I was completely unfamiliar with it. So that took a lot of time.
Well, and you know what's great about the movie, Fred? The movie doesn't come across, like so many Hollywood movies come across, as making a movie just as an excuse to be politically correct. There's a depth to the movie, the romance in the movie, the love interest, and the subplots, and they all come together in a beautifully eloquent way. That's what makes it not just a piece of propaganda. It makes it a real movie.
And again, on Tuesday, you can get this in about any Walmart, right?
That's right.
About half the Walmarts, it should be available, and it's available for download now at Amazon.com or BestBuy.com. Mm-hmm. And I think Walmart.com. I didn't check that, but I assume that that's...
Yeah, I'm sure. And I would encourage people to get it from Walmart if you at all can, even if you have to ask them to get it in, because that helps pull it through the distribution channel. And we want a lot of people to see this. It'll always be on Amazon, but for Walmart, They're the number one DVD retailer in the country. So for Walmart to get it on their shelves is really significant.
Right, and we got a Best Actor Award, or I should say Brian Dennehy got Best Actor Award at the Charleston International Film Festival.
And I think he deserved it, too. He did a great job. So we're almost out of time. We talked about how people could see it. Get it at Walmart or at Amazon if you have to, or from any of the creation ministries that will be promoting it. But then also the trailer you can see online right now at AllegedTheMovie.com, Alleged. Fred, what was it like to make a movie?
Well, it's like building a city and then having to tear it down right after it's finished.
Oh.
It's so complicated and involves so many people at such great expense. And you can't reproduce it for the next movie because everyone goes their own way. So it's exhilarating. It's chaotic. It's exciting. It's
fun. Absolutely a stunning process.
It had to be very rewarding.
It was. To finally sit in at the dark theater with hundreds of strangers around you and watch the lights go down and your movie come up, it's hard to describe that feeling.
Oh, wow.
Well, Mel Gibson has said that it takes a miracle to make a bad movie. And I never quite got that at first. But so much is involved in making a bad movie. Could you imagine what it takes to make a good movie? And especially with an all-star cast. What a great job, Fred. Congratulations.
And it was
Thank
also
so
featured
much.
In the Answers magazine that we often talk about here.
That's right. Ken Ham's ministry, Answers in Genesis. Fred, any final word about the movie? It's coming out on Tuesday, November 8th. Please get it at Walmart or somewhere.
That's right. And thanks so much for having me and for helping me get the word out.
You're very welcome. All right. That was Fred Foote, writer and producer of Alleged, A-L-L-E-G-E-D. Fred,
again,
you saw it.
Yeah, we've seen it, Bob, and it was highly recommended. I can't wait to buy it on DVD. I'm looking forward to that.
I want my family to have our own copy in the professional
That's
packaging.
Right.
We screened it. It was, I think, the director's cut. So I just cannot wait now to see the final produced film. It's going to be great. And our website is realsciencefriday.com. And what we'll do is we'll put the trailer, we'll embed it right in today's show summary. So you could check that out. Also, please pray for the election coming up on Tuesday, the same day in Mississippi. Fred, it's Amendment 26 down there.
That's right, the personhood amendment, right?
Personhood.
And it's looking, so far, things are looking pretty good.
It's looking like, with God's blessing and continued help and effort, we could pull this one out, and there could be a victory for personhood, and that would be a shot in the arm of adrenaline for pro-lifers all over the country and the personhood movement and strategy.
Yeah, again, November 8th. What a great day. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, November 8th. If you realize that God created us, we're made in His image and His likeness, and that's why we have the right to life, you realize that all these fundamental issues are connected.
All tied together.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Fred Williams.
Thanks,
what a
Bob.
Fun show on Alleged. Check it out. May God bless you.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.